Chapter 8, National Apostasy Brings National Ruin. From Jeroboam's death to Elijah's appearance before Ahab, Israel suffered a steady spiritual decline. The larger number of the people rapidly lost sight of their duty to serve the living God and adopted practices of idolatry. Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, who occupied the throne of Israel a few months, was suddenly slain with all his kindred in the line of succession, according unto the saying of the Lord, which he spake by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite, because of the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned, and which he made Israel sin. The idolatrous worship introduced by Jeroboam had brought the retributive judgments of heaven, and yet the rulers who followed, Baasha, Elah, Zimri, and Omri, continued the same fatal course of evil doing. King Asa's good rule. During the greater part of this time, Asa was ruling in Judah. He did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment, and the kingdom was quiet before him. The faith of Asa was put to a severe test when Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots invaded his kingdom. In this crisis Asa did not put his trust in the fenced cities in Judah that he had built, with walls, and towers, gates, and bars, nor in the mighty men of valor in his army. The king's trust was in Jehovah. Setting his forces in battle array, he sought the help of God. A signal victory gained by trusting God. The opposing armies now stood face to face. It was a time of test and trial to those who served the Lord. Had every sin been confessed? Had Judah full confidence in God's power to deliver? From every human viewpoint, the vast host from Egypt would sweep everything before it. But in time of peace, Asa had not been giving himself to amusement and pleasure. He had been preparing for any emergency. He had an army trained for conflict. He had endeavored to lead his people to make peace with God. Now his faith did not weaken. Having sought the Lord in prosperity, the king could now rely on him in adversity. "It is nothing with thee to help," he pleaded, "whether with many, or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude." King Asa's faith was signally rewarded. The Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa, and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. They were destroyed before the Lord, and before his host. As the victorious armies were returning to Jerusalem, Azariah the son of Oded went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, "The Lord is with you, while ye be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Be ye strong therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." Greatly encouraged, Asa soon led out in a second reformation. He put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. Asa's long record of faithful service was marred by some mistakes. When, on one occasion, the king of Israel entered Judah and seized Ramah, a city only 5 miles from Jerusalem, Asa sought deliverance by an alliance with Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. This failure to trust God was sternly rebuked by Hanani the prophet, who appeared before Asa with the message, "Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. Thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Instead of humbling himself before God, Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in a prison house, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. In the 39th year of his reign Asa was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. The king died in the 41st year of his reign and was succeeded by Jehoshaphat, his son. Ahab's wicked reign begins. 2 years before the death of Asa, Ahab began to rule in Israel. From the beginning, his reign was marked by a strange, terrible apostasy. He did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him, acting as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. He boldly led the people into the grossest heathenism, taking to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal king of the Zidonians and high priest of Baal. Ahab served Baal, and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Under the leadership of Jezebel, Ahab erected heathen altars in many high places, until well nigh all Israel were following after Baal. There was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. Ahab's marriage with an idolatrous woman resulted disastrously both to himself and to the nation. His character was easily molded by the determined spirit of Jezebel. His selfish nature was incapable of appreciating the mercies of God to Israel and his own obligations as guardian and leader of the chosen people. Under Ahab's rule, Israel wandered far from the living God. The dark shadow of apostasy covered the whole land. Images of Baalim and Ashtoreth were everywhere. Idolatrous temples were multiplied. The air was polluted with the smoke of sacrifices offered to false gods. Hill and vale resounded with the drunken cries of a heathen priesthood who sacrificed to the sun, moon, and stars. The people were taught that these idol gods were deities, ruling by their mystic power the elements of earth, fire, and water. The running brooks, the streams of living water, the gentle dew, the showers of rain which caused the fields to bring forth abundantly, all were ascribed to the favor of Baal and Ashtoreth, instead of to the giver of every good and perfect gift. The people forgot that the living God controlled the sun, the clouds of heaven, and all the powers of nature. Through faithful messengers, the Lord sent repeated warnings to the apostate king and the people. But in vain were these words of reproof. Captivated by the gorgeous display and the fascinating rites of idol worship, the people gave themselves up to the intoxicating, degrading pleasures of sensual worship. The light so graciously given them had become darkness. Never before had the chosen people of God fallen so low in apostasy. Of the prophets of Baal there were 450. Besides 400 prophets of the groves, nothing short of the miracle-working power of God could preserve the nation from utter destruction. Israel had voluntarily separated from Jehovah, yet the Lord in compassion still yearned after those who had been led into sin, and he was about to send them one of the mightiest of his prophets,